Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Penguins got blanked by the Islanders yesterday. Split in New York, but the Islanders got the loser point on Saturday, so New York walks away with 3, Pittsburgh 2 from over the weekend. And now the Penguins come home for 3 games with the Flyers starting tomorrow night. Penguins had just 2 shots in the first period yesterday and 10 through 2. Mike Sullivan seething after the game. Let's see if that works as a wake-up call for the hated Flyers who beat the Penguins back-to-back to start the year. I believe Pierre Maguire was in the building for that first game for the NHL on NBC, and I think he'll be back between the benches or wherever they put him for tomorrow night's game, Pierre, for NBC. Is that right, or am I off?
No, I'll be in the studio tomorrow doing that game. Good afternoon, gentlemen, by the way.
Hey, Pierre.
I'll be doing that game with Johnny Forslund tomorrow from Stanford, and then right after that game we drive to Boston.
Gotcha.
We've got Boston and Washington from between the benches on Wednesday.
But you are on the game, though, so okay.
Oh,
just
yeah,
not in person.
100%. And in Philly, I was on the game, and I was between the benches for opening day. Absolutely. I worked with Kenny Albert that night. Yep.
What are you seeing from the Penguins right now? Sullivan was almost despondent after the game, all one-word answers last night, Pierre.
Well, based on what he saw Friday, I mean, he had to be really excited about Saturday. He had to be really excited by what he saw Saturday. With the way they pushed back and competed and were able to get a win. And then to see, you know, basically a very limited effort on Sunday afternoon. It's a quick turnaround. They just weren't able to do it. And you could see the Islanders definitely warmed to the task. They play a certain style. Once they got up that second goal, it was very difficult for Pittsburgh, even on the power play, to get going. So I think Mike probably just wants more from his special teams, and he definitely wants more from his power play.
The power play has been rough, obviously, Pierre, and we think about that here because it's an offensive team. Their history has always been great offense, but the penalty kill also not good, and Sullivan seemed pretty livid about that. What are like some tried and true things besides, you know, preventing goals and having a goalie play really well that make for a really effective penalty kill by and large?
What's amazing to me is I think the Penguins might have the best tandem of penalty killers up front in the league, with Teddy Bluger and Brandon Tanev. I'm not kidding you. They don't hardly get scored on. It's when the other tandems have to come on the ice is when there's an issue. There's so much to penalty killing. It's applying pressure points up the ice, so on the forecheck. It's about making the right reads in the neutral zone, especially on the slingshot entry. And then it's about applying pressure points once the puck is established in the zone. How do you attack your pressure points? Do you attack them from up high and force it down low? Do you attack at the same time, so you basically envelop the player with the puck at the half wall? Do you attack down low with weak side rotation? I mean, it doesn't play well on talk radio, but I can tell you there are a lot of different schemes that you can do in a penalty killing situation. But I'm going to say this in defense of the Pittsburgh Penguins. I think Bluger and Tanev are two of the best at it in the league, and I think they're the best. If they're not the best tandem, they're right up there with everybody else. They're really good, those two guys, but they need more. And one of the things they're missing, and it's really apparent, is Brian Dumoulin. Not having Brian Dumoulin is not easy to overcome for any team in the league.
Penguins statistically 29th at penalty killing, Pierre. I wonder, is it like coordinators in football, offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator, baseball, pitching coach, hitting coach, assistant coaches get labeled, all right, you've got the power play, you've got the penalty kill. But how much authority do assistant coaches have when they get those labels, Pierre?
They get, depending on the staff, you can get a lot. I mean, depending on, again, on the staff and how it's run. When I was there, I did the penalty kill when I was in Pittsburgh, and Barry Smith and Rick Keough did the power play. So it depends on the staff that you have. I know when I coached as a head coach, I allowed Kevin McCarthy, who's the assistant down in Washington, he was in charge of the penalty kill. And I worked with Paul Gillis, our other assistant, on the power play. So it depends on the staff. But I usually, more times than not, usually have authority to go out there and do it. And we're seeing more and more of that in the league just because guys are specialists. Mm-hmm. But I would say the one thing is you need – I'll give you an example on the power play.
Yep.
Patrick Hornquist is missed. You can say whatever you want. Now, organizationally, they needed to add to their depth on defense. That's why they went out and got Matheson.
Yep.
But the Hornquist slot area presence is missed. It's hard to find guys like that. And go look at what he's done to the Florida Panthers. He's made a huge difference down there for that team. And they're all a little bit bigger. They're all a little bit braver. And they're all a little bit more skillful in the slot because they see what Hornquist does. So that's a part of why they miss, you miss certain players. And then your special teams go down. And it's the same thing on the penalty kill. Without Dumoulin, it changes a lot.
Pierre, is the Hornquist type player, the guy who goes about his business on the power play, a must? Is there more than one way to skin a cat in front of the net? With, I know the Penguins have tried it with Guentzel being skilled and maybe surprisingly tough, but in your opinion, is it really you've got to have that blood and guts guy like a Hornquist or like a Franzen or a Holmstrom back in the day in Detroit?
Oh, those guys make a huge difference. I look at Brady Tkachuk up in Ottawa. I look at Matthew Tkachuk in Calgary. You can go around the league. You look at what goes on in Vancouver, even though the team's not playing particularly well. When their power play's going, they have huge slot area presence, whether it's from Bo Horvat or JT Miller. I mean, you can go around, and that does make a difference with the top power plays in the league forever. In Minnesota, it was Zach Parise, who was just so darn good in the slot. He's gotten a little older now. You know, he was 18 years old in 2003, mm-hmm. so he's not getting any younger. But the truth of the matter is those guys do matter on the power play. You'll see it when Philadelphia comes in. You'll see. I mean, they get big slot area presence from a lot of different players, and it makes a big difference for their power play.
Pierre McGuire, NHL and NBC. You'll have Penguins and Flyers tomorrow. For people outside of Pittsburgh, they can watch it on NBC Sports Network at 7. Pierre, this is another philosophical question that was on my mind watching them turn around in less than 24 hours and get their butts kicked yesterday.
Right.
In baseball, you got an afternoon game after a night game. What do we see a lot of times? You'll see a new catcher go in. You'll see the lineup turn over. Mm-hmm. I just wonder in hockey, you know, when I see the fourth line barely play at all, in such a situation where you got to turn it around and play again as quickly as possible, no rest. I just wonder about that. Like, isn't that a game where you would want to roll four lines because of fatigue and things like that, Pierre?
Yeah, well, no, there's no question. That's one of the things you want to do. But Angelo's a young kid, hasn't played a lot. You know, his minutes were pretty limited yesterday. Again, Colton Sevier's more of a depth player. His minutes were pretty limited. They had to dig deep with Tanev and Bluger just because of matchup situations. I don't know how much Lafferty played. I know they moved him up in the lineup as the game went along, but I don't think he played over 10 minutes. Again, just going off the top of my head. But I think, again, you look at it, Mike's trying to generate. They're in a tight game. It's a 1-0 game until, you know, Islanders get that second goal. But I would just say that to me the biggest thing is they definitely need to play more of a four-line game. Mike knows that. He's not foreign. This is not a foreign concept to him.
Mm-hmm.
But it's easier said than done. And, you know, how deep are they? That's the one thing that Ron Hextall and Brian Burke are going to have to figure out now, just how deep they see this team and how realistic is it for this team going forward to really compete for the Cup. That's something that the new management group's going to have to figure out.
Pierre, I know Evgeny Malkin's play would have a large hand in determining how that what that answer is for the question you sort of just posed there. And he didn't have a good game yesterday, but he said he can feel like he's getting close to where he wants to be. Do you agree with that self-assessment he did based on what you've seen from him the last couple of weeks?
I thought Saturday he was better than he was yesterday. I wasn't in love with his game yesterday. I don't think he was in love with his game yesterday. Here's the one thing, and again, the Islanders are just one team, obviously, that the Penguins have to worry about. But when you look at the tail of the tape, just at the center ice position for the New York Islanders, and you see Matt Barzal, and then you see Brock Nelson, and then you see J.G. Pageau, and then you see Casey Cizikas. They come at you in a wave. They just yep. keep throwing those guys over the boards, and they just grind on you. And you could see, I felt bad for Sid yesterday. Guys were going after him, and they were taking liberties with him. And that's because they could just keep reloading and wearing him out and grinding him down. And that's what happens when you have four-line depth down the middle. It makes a big difference in this league, a huge amount of difference.
Pierre, the Penguins ended up getting 2 points on Saturday because they've had a mastery when it comes to three-on-three overtime. It's like, you know,
Letang does for sure with the Islanders. That's
yeah.
For sure.
What do you think that, like, what do you owe that to? Why do you think the Penguins, of all the teams, is it strategy? Is it just the players? They seem to be great at three-on-three overtime, and I'm curious as to why you think that is.
There's so many components that go into it, but the first thing is win the initial draw so you get puck possession. There are very few guys in the league that win the initial draw better than Sidney Crosby, mm-hmm. and usually he starts in three-on-three, so that's important. Secondly, you got a mobile guy that can jump into the rush in Christopher Letang. Thirdly, depending on who they decide to go with, obviously it could be a lot of different combinations, whether it's Brian Rust, whether it's Jake Gensel, or Evgeny even. It doesn't matter. I mean, there's a lot of different options, but usually it's Letang and Crosby. They read off one another extremely well. You know, obviously Sid assisted on Letang's goal on Saturday night, the overtime winner. But I think a big reason why is just the hockey sense of Sidney Crosby is insane. I mean, he just makes plays that most players in the league can't even envision, and he does it pretty easily.
Pierre, I was reading Josh Yowie's recap of yesterday's game, and Josh was on Twitter basically saying if people are still watching this game, you know, most of the way through two periods, if you're a Penguins fan, congratulations, because this is a tough one to actually take in. And he opined that he thinks the NHL might see more games where maybe, you know, one team looks noticeably like they're dragging just because of the way the schedule is going to heat up. Do you agree with that? And if so, how can a team combat that fatigue, that malaise that might set in even as they're in the middle of a playoff chase?
It's not going to be easy for anybody in the league, and this is why this season is so different compared to everything other season we've seen. The other thing that I'm starting to see now is when the game's tied late in the third period, so let's say the last 11 to 12 minutes, mm-hmm. You see everybody playing to get to overtime. Very seldom are you seeing everybody take chances to try to put the pedal to the metal and just win it in regulation. Everybody's stressing they got to get that point. They got to get at least 1 point out of this. So that's another trend that's starting to evolve, and that's just the way the nature of this season's going to be. It's really difficult. I mean, I'm watching the Buffalo Sabres play this weekend against Philadelphia, the next team you're going to play, and they lost back-to-back games 3-0. And I can tell you, the first game they lost 3-0, there wasn't a whole lot of effort there, and then the second game wasn't much better. And so they're starting to fall out of it pretty quick. I've watched New Jersey play a lot of real hardy games against Washington, but they just don't have the extra gear to get over the top. And so now they're in a big, you know, bit of trouble. So you look at it, I'm just using the Eastern mm-hmm. Division as an example. It's really tough. I mean, can you imagine? I'm doing the game on Wednesday, Washington at Boston. That's Chara's first time back in Boston. That's going to be like a playoff game.
Yeah.
And, you know, again, where are we at? Washington's going to have played their 22nd game, and Boston will have played their 20th game, and then we still got a ways to go. But that's just where this season is. It's very difficult for everybody.
Yeah, I was annoyed with how the Penguins played yesterday, and then I quickly reminded myself that they do have 8 games left with Buffalo, which made me feel much better about things. What the heck with that? Every year they make a big splash in the offseason. This time it's Taylor Hall, and I've got still a lot of friends. I used to work up there, Pierre. Great town,
right, great place.
Mm-hmm. And yep. It's a vicious cycle for them that they can't seem to get out of. You said the Penguins have them. By the time we talk to you next, we'll have seen, you know, Penguin Sabres. What the heck is going on with that team?
Injuries hurt them a lot. Not having Rasmus Ristolainen for a long period of time really hurt them. Now they don't have Jake McCabe for the entire year. That really hurt them. They don't have Linus Ullmark, their goaltender, probably for another month. That hurt them. you know, their better younger player, like a Dylan Cousins, for instance. He didn't was a healthy scratch yesterday just because of fatigue. Casey Mittelstadt hasn't evolved the way they wanted him to. I don't know. I mean, you can say what you want about Taylor Hall. He's got one goal in 19 games. I watched him play in the playoffs last year for Arizona.
Yep.
And he was underwhelming. I'm going to tell you the truth. He was underwhelming. And I know that they were trying to get a Jack Eichel, Taylor Hall kind of chemistry thing going. It hasn't worked. And I think that's frustrating to Taylor, and I think it's frustrating to Jack. You know, their best pure offensive player right now is Victor Olofsson, and he's really good. He's really good. If you let them on a power play and that guy's a left-hand shot on the right-hand side of the ice, he's going to blow pucks right by your goaltender. I'm telling you right now. But outside of that, Pierre, I think it's injuries and it's just expectation was just way too high.
Pierre, one of the probably my biggest concern about this team when things were bumpy early on was the goaltending. And I thought DeSmith was their best player, maybe the only guy who really showed up last night ready to go for the Penguins. Do you think that they've kind of settled things down now and maybe Penguins fans can breathe easy when they consider that position?
Oh, I think so. I think you could see that Tristan's made significant improvement. He's much more aggressive. He's on the top of his crease. Casey looked really comfortable yesterday. You can't fault him on that. I mean, the Oliver Wallstrom shot, that's a goal on any goalie in the league. The first power play goal, that's a goal on any goalie. So there's not much he could do there. So, I think the goaltending settled down. They got to get – I'm telling you, I don't know how much is talked about in the marketplace in Pittsburgh, but they miss Brian Dumont a lot, and they got to get him back. And I think Ronnie Hextall knows that. Brian Burke knows that. Guys like that are hard to find, big guys that can move and defend. And he's kind of like a security blanket to Letang. And when you do that, it changes up everybody else's role, and it makes it a little bit easier for Pettersson. It makes it a little bit easier for Pierre-Olivier Joseph. You know, it makes it easier for other players because they don't have to log as many big minutes. It makes it a lot easier for Marino. Makes it a lot easier for Matheson. They missed Dumoulin a ton.
Yeah. Pierre, what did you think of, because now the guy's out, we haven't seen him in the last couple of games. What did you think of the Tom Wilson hit on Mark Jankowski?
You know, it's a hard game played by hard guys. I didn't really have a problem with it. I thought it sit well in that marketplace. But, you know, I saw something that was worse that happened last week, and it hurt Montreal. Josh Anderson got slew-footed in a game with Winnipeg by Dylan DeMello. Now, I don't think DeMello meant to do it, but nonetheless, he put the guy out. I mean, and so I saw Tommy. I don't know if you guys saw it. Tommy got hit pretty hard yesterday with a high stick.
Did he?
By Wood in New Jersey, and Miles Wood, and I heard the announcer say, "I don't know how many people around the league are going to be bummed about that." You know,
how hard is it to find a guy like him?
Every team in the league would like to have Tommy Wilson on their team. I can tell you that.
Pierre, I said after the game that hit happened, and he had the game-winning goal. He would lead the Penguins in goals right now. And he's almost a point-per-game player. I mean, we used to, you know, when he knocked Zach Aston-Reese out of the playoffs a few years ago.
I was doing the game. I was right there. That was barbaric. That was savage. It really was.
Yeah, and he used to get – you're a football guy. He used to get compared here to Vontaze Burfict, the Bengals linebacker that got thrown out of the league. And I said, you know, I've got to back off of that now because Tom Wilson can play. To your point, any team in the league – and I brought Brian Burke, if he had a chance – to sign Tom Wilson, he would do it in a heartbeat. A lot of Penguins players have ended up in Washington, Pierre. Maybe we'll get one of their guys sometime soon, you know?
Well, I'll just tell you this. I'll never forget when we traded for Ulf Samuelsson, and he was one of the most reviled players in the league. But as soon as he became a Penguin, he became a folk hero, and everybody started to equate him to Jack Lambert.
Yeah.
And, you know, Jack is larger than life. He's Pittsburgh sports royalty. And I think Ulfie kind of is, too. And it was a pleasure and a privilege to coach Ulfie. Trust me when I tell you. Well, you would go into Boston, and we would need security guards around our hotel and around our bus when we went to the old Boston Garden because fans of Boston wanted to kill him. I'm not kidding you. And we were all worried that one of us might get taken out, too. So, you know, you got to be careful when you judge players on other teams. But I could tell you this right now. If they send NHL players to the Olympics, I firmly believe – Tommy Wilson has a legitimate chance to be on Canada's team.
Mm. Wow.
I'll tell you what, Pierre, if he ended up in Pittsburgh someday on his next contract, you wouldn't just be seeing Troy Polamalu as the only black and gold 43 that gets worn around town. I can assure you of that.
That's very strong. I like that. That's very strong.
Hey, Pierre, we had a listener ask a very – said they wanted us to run this by you if we had time, and I'm going to try to squeeze it in here.
Sure.
People want to know why Pierre Maguire isn't all over social media. So many people in your profession, you know, insiders, announcers, they're all over the place, even players now. Pierre Maguire, not big on Twitter and things like that. Why is that?
Because I don't have enough time in the day to worry about that. You should see – I wish – you could see just the day in the life. I start every day at 5:30 in the morning, even if I work a game until really late from the West Coast. And if I'm not working, okay, I'm watching them.
Mm-hmm.
And then you try to keep up for the draft. So you're always watching tapes of different games from different leagues from around the world.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're on the phone talking to whether it's scouts or coaches or just people that you know in the game. And a lot of young coaches in particular call me and ask for help in terms of recognizing different situations. I honestly don't have time, and I like being a husband, and I really like being a dad. So you put it all together, I just don't want to go there. I prefer just to do what I'm doing, and I love being on the radio with you guys, and I consider it part of my work.
Now, Pony, that is a man with his priorities very well in order.
5:30 in the morning.
Keep it that way, Pierre.
Pierre, how much sleep are you living on, man?
I usually sleep around 5 or 6 hours a day. That's it.
Okay. And you're not going to bed until the West Coast games are done. You're putting
No matter what, West Coast games are always watched right till the end. Yep.
Damn. Well, that's why you're the best. Pierre, thank you so much. Appreciate it. We'll talk again next week.
I can't wait for fans to be in the building in Pittsburgh. That's so exciting. I'm so pumped to do the game and watch the fans come into the building. I can't wait.
Pierre, you think that'll make a difference? Like, have you done games with any fans yet?
No. There have been no fans in any of the buildings that I've worked in.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's going to make a difference. I know it made a difference Friday night in New York.
Yep.
When the Rangers played Boston and they blew the Bruins out, you could tell it was a huge difference. And I see it in Tennessee. I watched it in Tennessee this weekend with Nashville playing Columbus. They beat them twice, and the fans were really good down there. I've seen it in Tampa now, especially Tampa versus Carolina, and they beat Carolina every game they played them down there. So I would say the fans do make a difference, yes.
Great. Pierre, thank you so much. Talk again next week.
You guys rock. Thanks a lot. Take care, buddy.
You
good
bet.
Night.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.